Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. Visit appalachiancre.com.
A pleasant good morning to you. Welcome to another installment of Mind Your Business here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. I'm David Jackson, President and CEO of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. This morning's program brought to you, as always, by our good friends at Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. And we thank you for joining us here on this Thursday morning as we continue to talk about the response to the COVID-19 crisis here in Watauga County. I've got a couple of different things to bring you on the program today that we've had from dialogue earlier this week with leaders in the community. Jennifer Green, the Director of Public Health from Appalachian Healthcare, spoke last night as part of our Keeping Boone Healthy Town Hall that the Chamber hosted, and we've got her comments from the beginning of that forum where she gave kind of an update on where testing is and what some of the procedures are that the Health Department is using as they are working to track things that we're looking at in the public health space as it regards to what the next steps are for Boone and Watauga County and what some of that state guidance looks like too. So some insight there. And then also yesterday on our Keep Boone Healthy Facebook channel, we got a chance to catch up with U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, and we've got that interview for you as well as he outlines some of the things from the federal side, the government response, if you will, other funding mechanisms that may be coming down the road that we wanted to make sure that you are aware of. So you'll hear those two things here this morning. Do want to remind you, we do have business after hours tonight, 6 o'clock to 7. You can register for that online at boonechamber.com. And then we also have our Friday forum tomorrow morning from 10 to 11:15. We'll feature a panel from App Healthcare. You can get questions for that panel to us today by emailing info@boonechamber.com. We'll make sure we ask those questions tomorrow as we talk about as many things from a public health perspective as we can as it relates to this COVID-19 response. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Jennifer Green, Director of Public Health for App Healthcare. You're listening to Mind Your Business this morning in a presentation of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM.
Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate, sales, leasing, and property management services.
Welcome back in to Mind Your Business here this morning, presented by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. As promised, here's our conversation from last night's Keeping Boone Healthy Town Hall with App Healthcare Director of Public Health, Jennifer Green.
There's three things that we are focused on. One is testing, and you've probably heard that there is some focused effort to expand testing, and we are continuing to plan for that. Want to give a thank you to our partners at Appalachian Regional Healthcare System because they have also been very engaged in the testing work that we've been doing in the community. We have gone through a phase where we have told people to stay at home, even if they're sick. And that is largely due to the challenges we had with testing early on, as well as personal protective equipment. But since then, we have changed our testing protocol following CDC guidance and are testing more people now. So we are still focused right now on people with symptoms. But just in the past week, we have expanded to test people who are close contacts of positive cases. So people who are a known positive case, people that are close to them, household members, or have had exposure, based on our case investigation, we are offering testing to them as well. I do expect over the next couple of weeks that we will further expand testing. So just want to let you all know that. Also, I'll share that we are continuing to focus our effort on contact tracing. It's something that public health staff have done for a long time, but you may not normally hear about it. We have over 74 reportable illnesses in North Carolina, and the people that physicians and healthcare providers that test for different communicable diseases are required to report those to the public health agency in their community. And we've had a really great cooperation and collaboration with our healthcare providers in the high country. And I think you can feel good about that. We are continuing to make sure that we are prepared to, when we have a positive case, to do an investigation. And of course, part of that is finding out who has been exposed. We look at close contact, and I'll tell you all what I usually share with others, which is all contact does not equal close contact. And we try to be thoughtful about who needs to be quarantined based on risk of exposure. And then, of course, testing. And I guess the other piece to that is I've had the opportunity to participate with the state team. You've probably heard about the Carolina Collaborative for Contact Tracing. They've included health directors to try to make sure that the solutions to expand on contact tracing staff are useful. And one of the other opportunities we have in the days ahead is to use digital platforms, both to help route people to find testing sites in their communities, as well as allow us to have better data so that as we ease restrictions over the course of time, we're able to have a better handle on the contacts and how many contacts are associated with the average number of cases. It's something that we are doing now, but we don't have the best data platform to measure. So that's something we're looking forward to having in the coming weeks. Part of expanding testing means we have to make sure we have expansion in contact tracing. We want to contact people who are positive cases pretty quickly so that we are able to give them the right guidance. So that's where we are right now with that. Beyond that, we look at trends. Thankfully, in this area, we haven't had deaths that we know of associated with COVID-19. That's something that we look at as well as hospitalizations. And we're very fortunate, I think, and much to say thank you to our local officials who have taken some extra steps to help us control the spread of the virus by putting some additional restrictions that I know have been very challenging for businesses who are in the hotel industry, the lodging facilities, and also to folks who maybe just don't want to self-quarantine for 14 days. But it's been very important, I think, up to this point for us to do that because we want to have a slow rain shower, as I've described. We want to have a rainstorm, not a flood, not a flash flood, for us to be able to manage this. So I do feel confident that in the days ahead, as we expand our work, we're going to have a continued focus to keep a pulse on where we are with the virus. I can tell you, you know, there's a couple of things that we have in our plans and have done over the last week. If we have a work site that has an exposure or two and we're worried about a potential outbreak, we've offered expanded testing. We are going to be adding more details to our website. We've added the number of people under quarantine. And if you go to our website, apphealthcare.com, you can find that. We will be adding probably tomorrow positive tests that don't reside in the county. If we test people and we are aware of positive cases, maybe there are people that work in the community but live elsewhere, their county of residence is where the positive case will show up. In terms of the official count and the state website. But we are also trying to track that locally too so that we have a good handle on things. So I can tell you we've had instances in all three of our counties in the last week where we've gone in and done some mass testing with different employers based on risk and their willingness to allow us to offer that to their staff. So that's another layer that we plan to do. Beyond that, I think our focus is just continuing to keep a pulse on assistance that folks need. And that's what our Friday forum is about. And hope you all know that we have staff who answer calls 24/7. People have symptoms. If they have questions, we have a nurse on call and are ready and willing to help if you need us.
Those are comments from Jennifer Green, Director of Public Health for App Healthcare. When we come back from the timeout, we'll hear from U.S. Senator Tom Tillis about the federal response here in North Carolina to the COVID-19 crisis. You're listening to Mind Your Business this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FFF.
Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. Visit AppalachianCRE.com.
Welcome back to Mind Your Business here this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. I'm David Jackson from the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. Our show brought to you this morning by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. As we mentioned before the break, U.S. Senator Tom Tillis joined us yesterday on the Keep Boone Healthy Facebook page to talk about the federal response to what North Carolina is seeing in this COVID-19 crisis.
Well, we've worked and we were successful with securing a lot of funding, supplemental funding for rural health facilities. Some of those are associated with some of the bigger systems in the urban areas, and we were afraid that that connection could potentially have them lose funding. But we were successful. That money is flowing. We passed additional appropriations for healthcare that the states will be distributing, and I think that we're going to have to go after another tranche. Just to make sure that, you know, in the rural areas, healthcare facilities are oftentimes the largest employers. So in addition to the critical need that they play in keeping people healthy, they're also an economic engine, and we need to look at it through both of those lenses.
Yeah, second largest employer here in Watauga County to Appalachian State, and a hospital system that serves three counties. So you're right on the money with that assessment. Testing has been such a part of the equation in conversation lately, and being able to contact trace and test as that relates to being able to safely reopen the economy of states like North Carolina and many others. Do you feel like those benchmarks are progressing along enough in your eyes and in your colleagues' eyes to continue with that safe reopening?
Well, certainly we wish we had testing ramped up sooner. I think many people do not appreciate everything that goes into producing a test. Number one, you create a test, you make sure that you have the inputs that you need to manufacture the test. Then you've got to test its efficacy or its ability to reasonably predict the existence of the virus or a dead virus or a different test. And that takes time. The fact that we were able to ramp up with an organism we didn't know anything about for 3 months ago and to get the testing options that we have today, I think is extraordinary. Having said that, we've got to test more. We've exceeded 200,000 completed tests in North Carolina, 9 million across the country. Dr. Fauci and some of those on the COVID task force said that we could expect to see 50 million or more tests a month as we enter the late summer. We're going to see a number of different tests, in-home tests, rapid tests. And now, again, I have to caution everyone, when you hear a news report about a test, you have to keep in mind there's certain equipment for certain tests. So some may be more relevant for North Carolina and the rural areas than others. But I do believe that you're going to see a several-fold increase in testing in the coming weeks, and it's just going to continue to escalate. Then you have to layer in the antibody tests. We're talking about most of the reporting is on the active virus test to determine if you've been infected. As important as the antibody or the antigen test, it's going to let us know who was infected, recovered from it, and never sought health care. Those two are very, very important as we prepare for another wave that we expect to happen next November or December.
Senator, one of the things, in addition to testing, that was a rapid response from the government at the onset of this and continues to be a priority, and that is loan funding for various types of businesses. Certainly in this community, we saw a little bit more traction in the second wave of that PPP and EDL loan funding. Nonprofit businesses, though, have not maybe had as much of an access to that. And this community, as you well know, is incredibly philanthropic in its DNA. So what can you tell us about additional moves that may be made by the government to help nonprofit businesses that, in many cases, are the ones that are on the ground responding to the COVID crisis?
Yeah, well, that's clearly was something that we have to go back and correct with the CARES Act. If you look at YMCAs, a number of other nonprofits that right now are not eligible for paycheck protection, they've got the worst of both worlds. They're seeing their donations go down, but the demand for their services go up. And I think that there's consensus to make sure that that gets fixed and another measure that will work out with the House. I also believe you made a very important point about the second tranche of funding that we had for the Paycheck Protection Program. You know, the cynics were saying, well, it just favored big businesses. The loans were bigger in the first phase. It makes sense if you think about businesses that have the scale. They probably already have loan relationships, and they'd be the first ones to have all their documents in order and a banking relationship. But we're very pleased to see that the average loan in the second tranche is around $75,000. So about half of them higher or lower than that, half of them higher than that. But that suggests to us that the second tranche is really reaching a very broad base of small businesses. Having said that, we've still got other businesses and industries that are not qualified for the loan. We've got some businesses that are, that because of the way they work or their size, they're not qualified for paycheck protection. But also because of the way they work or their size, they don't really fit with the Main Street Lending Act, which you're going to hear a lot more about because it's being rolled out. So there's a kind of donut hole of businesses that really do not have a viable alternative, and we've got to plug that hole.
Businesses have had a number of roles that they have tried to play in the response to this crisis. Certainly here in North Carolina, from a research and development standpoint, this state has been leaned on heavily, not only on the research side to try to find ways to fight the disease, but also on the development side to include things like testing kits and PPE and things of that nature for the broader scope. How much does that help someone in your shoes to see your state mobilize in that way and continue to bring ideas to the conversation about what our manufacturers in this state and others can do to help combat some of the problems that you all are seeing and trying to legislate and find solutions for?
Well, I'll tell you, I think when we're done and we can look back at all the things that occurred, I believe North Carolina is going to be very prominently placed as one of the leading states to help with the COVID response. I just spoke with the chancellor of UNC Chapel Hill last week and a number of other chancellors, and I spoke with the president of Duke University as well. UNC Chapel Hill was one of the first emergency use authorizations that we worked to secure from the FDA on a testing protocol. The work that's being done in North Carolina right now with nearly 170 therapeutics or medicines that they're testing to see if they're working with COVID. And a lot of them are showing promising results. Some of those efforts are here in North Carolina. Some of the vaccinations that are being moving through clinical trials and getting expedited reviews are related to research institutions or companies here in North Carolina. And back to the universities, it's one of the reasons why I went on a letter with several other members to encourage another $26 billion that go into our research institutions, and North Carolina will be a benefactor of that, and we're a benefactor of their great work.
Work is something that I know a lot of people would like to be doing right now, and hopefully as we see North Carolina's phasing moving forward, we'll see more people get back to work. For those, though, that are unemployed, trying to fight that battle right now and find a way back into the workforce, do you foresee anything from a legislative perspective that may be out there in terms of projects or other initiatives? Infrastructure, I know, has been one big popular topic of conversation. Anything like that out there that might be able to help get North Carolinians back to work, especially in sectors that may take a little bit longer to rebound?
Yeah, well, one thing we have to do is see if those employers, what more we can do to make sure that they can ramp up as the economy moves. There's some industries that are going to lag behind others as they ramp up their business. So how do you help them make ends meet so that there are jobs that they can go back to that people were happy with? I also think that there's a discussion up here I've been a part of about infrastructure investments. Investments in education. These are investments made at the federal level that have a measurable economic return. So they are they're very, very important for us to consider. I think that we will move forward with the infrastructure reauthorization bill a little bit later in the session. And by then, we'll also talk about some other appropriations priorities for things that are stimulative, job creating, and also have a sustaining return on the investment. It'll give everybody more job opportunities, but I really hope that we can work hard to make sure that job that they were working, that they were satisfied with, is the first opportunity that they may have.
Final question for you, sir. If you were to offer words of encouragement to people here in the mountains of Northwest North Carolina, what might that be at this point from your chair?
Yeah, I say, you know, you got to think back. In February, people were waking up. In fact, the numbers back then, people had more of a optimistic outlook on their future than they had in years. And that was because the fundamentals were moving in the right direction. Now, it's going to take us some time to get back. But there's that opportunity to have that economy come back again. I reject the concept of the new normal, this sort of thing like we've got to live with the circumstances we have today. We're going to have to live with social distancing for a while. The fact of the matter is, hopefully some of that sticks around when we get to the next flu season. We're gonna change the way we operate, but there are so many good things that are going to come out of this crisis. We're going to see telemedicine extending lower cost healthcare to more people in rural areas of this state than ever before. We're going to see an FDA that's starting to recognize that there are just certain promising drugs, therapies, and vaccines that should be fast-tracked so that we can get their things out sooner. I think people, we're going to come out of this stronger. It's going to take patience. It's also going to take cooperation. But at the end of the day, I believe we'll look back at this time and we will remember some of the dark memories, but I think we'll also have a number of things that we will fondly remember.
That is U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, and that does it for this installment of the program. We look forward to seeing you at Business After Hours tonight, 6 o'clock to 7. Make sure you register online at boonchamber.com. We'll be right back with you again next week, same time, same place, right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. Good morning.